You're listening to Season 6 of MGIF, a video game podcast where you listen to me walking around mostly London, having fun, silly chats with people who are involved with or have an interest in video games in one way or another. If, by chance, this gets you thinking about video game culture and its wider place in society, that is not my fault. This week we've got presenter and host Shay Thompson. She's amazing. You may have seen and heard her on BBC, BAFTA and much, much more. And we get into all of that. We talk about growing up in London and having two bus drivers as parents, working in styling and fashion, getting into presenting and building confidence in that world, inspirations, improving your presenting and getting better at listening and looking back at yourself, and working with McLaren as your first presenting gig. We walked around Alexandra Palace, or Ali Pali as they call it in London, and got into all that. Shay's amazing. We had a lovely time. I think we need a TV show together, quite honestly, because we get on so well. And the chemistry, it does flow and pop. So please, enjoy this episode. It is Season 6, Episode 19. It's Shay Thompson. Right, I've made it to the train station. Alexandra Palace, aka Ali Pali. And today we're going to be meeting up with the marvellous Shay Thompson. Hello.
Hello.
You all right? I was just throwing things. I'll get some nice sounds in the place. I could see it. You all right?
Yeah, good.
What should we do?
It's a very good question.
I realise the other side is like where the stuff is, right?
We can head to that side. It is a very confusing area.
Yeah.
I suggested here because it is slightly nicer than like Wood Green and then Tottenham.
Right.
I love Tottenham. Tottenham's my home.
Sure.
Wood Green, by extension, is as well, but that place has not been updated since 2002.
Right. So sounds real familiar to where I grew up.
Oh, nice.
Up north.
Oh, okay.
Well, so for a bit.
Yeah. That's why it's always funny to me when people are like, oh, London, so expensive, so gentrified. And I'm like, I'll show you the real London.
Yeah, it's like you got to look in the right place. Right? Also, it's quite big, so it's got everything. It's not just that one
exactly.
Bit. Exactly. Tell us about Tem. We grew up in Greater Manchester.
Oh, okay, nice.
And like there's a place called Atherton, and they've just started to the first whiffs of gentrification. Or that version of it. It's a really white place. So I don't know what you'd call it, but like basically there's a shuttle bus that goes to Manchester now.
Yeah.
So anyone like rich young people who are doing well, who have a job in Manchester. Mm-hmm. They come and get a house in Atherton for like 30 quid.
Yeah.
And like, and then so all of a sudden, like, it was always just like nail bars, mm-hmm. old man pubs, or newsagent. Now it's nail bars, gin bars, old man pubs, and newsagents. So it's just like more bars, but bars for younger people.
Yeah, you're putting so much money for like two scoops of alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, yep, I'm happy with this.
They're like, this is fine. Mm. Yeah, yeah. And it's so weird. Like, obviously, on the same road, you've got like the old man pub. You go in there, and it's like 80p for a pint or whatever. And then you go next door, and it's like the latest. You notice how like there's like a different kind of like continental lager that's sort of trying to take over every other month now. So it's like a Madry who was there for a bit.
Oh yeah.
And there's some else now, and like Estrella, and
yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
like it's the place where like, oh, we've got the new one of those on the draft, right? And it's yeah. like, and we've bothered to clean it. And you're like, ooh, fancy guys. It's that sort of vibe. You're like, well, but yeah, it's that thing of like, it's that kind of, it's otherwise unchanged for like 20 years, yeah. right? It's an odd place.
And the thing is, because I hear people make the argument for gentrification. They're like, oh, well, you know, it's nice to have stuff updated. But I'm like, if the people who were living there, who made the yeah. place, like, have the vibe that it has,
yeah.
if they can't, you know, afford these new amenities, then what is all of this in service of?
Exactly. Like, who is it for? Yeah, exactly. It just pushes people out. I think that's the difference in that it's not kind of, it doesn't feel like a push out, it just feels like a weird juxtaposition.
Yeah.
It's like no one's like been forced to get out of there, they're just like just weird places that are looking
like
what?
Like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, the whiplash of wait a minute.
Yeah. Like I say this, both my parents are bus drivers.
Right.
And there was a time where I actually hated getting on the bus.
Really?
Because we were just on it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, if my mum was, like, busy right. working and there was no one to babysit me and my sister...
Get on the bus.
We would sit on the bus with my dad all day.
That makes
going
sense.
Going back to, like, Waterloo, all around.
So boring. And, like, what year are we talking?
This was, like, early 2000s.
So you're not, like... You got a Switch or something? You got a Switch, you know. I mean, you got, like, a GBA or a...
Something so, a couple times.
A PSP
but the thing
or something
is, there
like
was
that.
Two of us, and yeah. if one of us was playing, it was kind of yeah. like unfair to the other.
Yeah.
So we had to be each other's entertainment.
Oh, for God, for like hours, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like the first time you go from like Wood Green to Waterloo, it's like, okay, that was nice, and you come back again, and you do it again. And after the third time, you're like... Oh, right.
Yeah.
I've seen all there is to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrap this up immediately.
Yeah, man. It's like, makes me think, I was just listening to an off-menu episode with Amelia de Moldenberg, and they started talking about, Ed Gamble was like, you know, there's a time where you had to go to the toilet and you couldn't just be on your phone. You had to just be on the toilet with nothing
alone
to do.
Alone with your thoughts. Like, that's too much.
Like, once upon a time you didn't have anything to do. Couldn't go on YouTube or anything.
Oh God!
So to be there.
Can you imagine?
It's existing.
Oh no!
It's like no, none of that.
None of that. No, thank you.
I think you might have missed a bit of that because are you 30?
30. I am 30. Yeah.
So you've slightly got ahead of the like early internet days, which were just sort of a delight, but also you look back, it's like, oh my God, those are insane.
That was a time, yeah.
Like, did you catch the period where you couldn't be on the phone if you wanted to be on the internet?
I was around for that.
That's still there, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that was rough because like, I don't think I know a life really. Like, from my, I think my early adolescence
yeah.
till now have like lived with the internet.
Right.
And so, yeah my
okay.
earliest memories were like, okay, get off the phone, Mum.
Yeah.
So I can go back to talking to strangers on the internet.
Or the guilt when you pick it up and it's going, oh, and you're like, oh no, sorry. You hear the noise, you're like, shit.
Yeah.
And the fact that it immediately broke it as well, it's like.
Oh, and the thing is, to me at that time, that was like the pinnacle of technology. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, we've peaked.
Well, yeah, yeah.
We're not going to get any better than this.
I love this. There's a Twitch channel I watch that's like a, you know, there's 24-hour ones.
Yeah.
It's called Old Timey Computer Show.
Ooh.
And they just have this huge library, you know, what's the bloody word? Library of programs.
Oh, sure.
You know what you mean? What do I mean? You know, it's annoying me. I don't need to remember words, but I want to now.
This is your mission.
A schedule of whatever, you know. Anyway.
that just runs, you know, with loads of different things, and they rotate it and stuff. And it's just like, it's really old BBC something, or BBC Micro Live, which was like a BBC technology, hour-long technology programme of like, and now the latest in computers. This is a mindless computer game, and you can jump up and down and collect the eggs, you know, it's that sort of stuff. Or they come in and go, how might it look in the future? And like, sort of tomorrow's world, but like tomorrow's world light and stuff. It's really funny to watch now, really good.
Cool.
And they have like the American one, and I can't remember what that's called, but that's really good. Just to see like, so you can just like drag and drop this folder into another, yeah. And it's a graphical, you don't have to type anything, you just move it across. And you can move all the files. And what do you think it'll look like in the future? And it's like the best thing to watch in the world, man. It's so good.
Oh, my goodness. It's what so was good. Twitch channel called?
Old-timey computer show. But it has that. It has old, like, 1995 promotional Sega things for, like, and all that stuff, where it's like some... They've employed some guy who's, like, 27 to pretend he's 18, going, hey, with, like, the, like, terrible shades. And he's like, if you want to piss off your mum and dad, here's how you... You know, get infinite lives in Donkey Kong Country, and it's all like you can imagine the sets, right? Yeah. It's the best stuff, man.
Oh my god,
that is a good channel.
We've lost so much of that stuff just to time. So
yeah.
I'm glad that someone kept it.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't wait to look back and cringe.
So good. That's a really good one to look at. To look at like what the latest tech was like and stuff, and like it's just really interesting. But you know what I found quite a lot is that like I'm not going in to sneer at it, but they'd be like, you know, what do you think? Where do you think this is going?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, the people on it are right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they'll be like, oh, you'll see, you'll be able to take it with you and out of the house,
sure.
or whatever. Or, you know, there's loads of things where I go, oh, shit. And more, like, specific things where I'm like, oh, my God, they got that spot on, actually.
Oh.
I expect them to be like, well, we'll have 10 radios in our ears and we'll be flying to work.
Because that's the thing that people like saying now. And I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
Babes, but no.
Yeah, like, babes, but no. Hey, that babes, no.
No.
Wait, we're
here.
Made it.
Yeah.
To a beautiful, spacious. What bit's this?
This is the palace?
This is the palace itself.
So.
Do I bow? do I? Am I dressed appropriately?
Yeah, am I meant to shake my hand?
Let's go and find somewhere to sit down and get some big mics out. So, we were talking about a little bit on our walk up about growing up in London. Let's get a bit more about that. Let's get into that straight
off
the bat.
Let's get into that. My goodness.
Your parents were bus drivers.
Well, my mum actually was a security guard at Stansted Airport.
Okay.
For the longest time. And then she switched to bus driving.
Right.
Yeah. And so it was always ingrained in us. Like, whenever we were traveling, it was like, make sure all of your liquids are correct. Because you didn't want to get done for that. Because it just would have been so embarrassing.
Yeah.
So.
It's like, get your liquids right, mate.
Yeah, that was like the main motto in our household. Get your liquids right.
It's in the bathroom over the sink.
Yeah.
Get your liquids right.
So that was drilled into us at a very young age. Yeah, my mom also had like a bunch of random jobs when I was growing up. She and a bunch of other family members did... like cleaning work on like ITV sets.
Right.
I remember there was a time where they were like quite friendly with the cast of The Bill. Yeah, so very, very random lore drop. I don't think I've ever told that.
Oh, really?
That anecdote publicly.
We
opened
it with an exclusive.
Yeah.
I love this. Yes. Now I can be like, stay tuned. Make sure you tune in. There is an exclusive right at the top of the show. And I was like, oh, what is it?
Yeah. And it's, a throwback to a show that I'm sure loads of people do not remember.
Yeah, my eyes lit up. I was like, The Pill.
I was like, ah, this one's going to kill.
That's like, this one's going to kill. Like, it's like a rite of passage for actors, isn't it? Going through The Bill and doctors and that sort of thing. My dad does acting work these days as well. He used to have like an after dinner speaker agency. So like, I guess you'd just call it like, you know, saying talks at dinners now.
Yeah.
At the time it was like after dinner speaker, old days. But like he did that alongside bits of acting. He's always done acting and on and off and stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think he's been in The Bill. He's been in Doctors.
Yeah. Doctors was the really, really big one. So many like actors got their start there.
Yeah.
God, I miss that era of television, honestly.
Well, it's Doctors or like comedians going through like kids TV, right?
Yeah.
That was quite a big
thing.
Like if you ever see old episodes of Balamori and Miles Jupp used to do Balamori, who used to be a character on it, and you see him and like, oh, that's fucking Miles Chip.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's loads of it, and there's loads. I can't, that's the only example I can think of. Yeah, top of my head, but there are like dozens of people, right, who came up that way.
I kind of miss that. Not that I have like aspirations to become an actor, but just like the ways in which of like getting like discovered, I think were probably not easier, but the journey was a bit more like regimented, whereas now everything is through the very vague thing that is social media, which I hate.
Well, we're jumping forward a bit, but we can come back. No, it's okay, but we'll come back to it. But like, so how did you find it, like getting into like presenting stuff on like camera facing, should we call it, TV stuff? Like, how was your experience of like doing that? Obviously, you didn't go on Doctors or
I didn't.
Balamori.
No. Or Balamori.
Keep wanting to say Jackanory, that's like 1942 or something.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, like story time. Yeah. Oh, God. I don't know this stuff. I'm not that old. What the hell's going on?
This is quite a Rolodex.
It's just thinking of things that Dad would tell me. Like Jack and Oreo. Muffin the Mule. So when you were on Muffin the Mule at first. Mm-hmm. And, please.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I was kind of gifted at school for a time.
Right.
And then painfully mediocre.
For a time.
For a time. Well, what it was is like in primary school, I was like one of the smartest kids there. And I was like, oh my God, you guys need to like bow at my feet. And then I got to like secondary school and I was still smart, but like I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. So that's what I say for a time.
Mate,
so
it was a very hard lesson, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone goes, oh no. Oh no.
Let's just dial it down. Just dial it back just a little bit. Lessons were learned.
Sure.
But the one thing I always loved was video games and talking. Mm. I love those two things.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really sure. I was like, how am I going to go make a living out of this? Because that's not a job, really.
Yeah.
Or at least I didn't think it was a job.
Yeah.
I worked a bunch of like really random jobs. I worked at H&B for a really long time.
Yep, okay.
Worked at Topshop for a spell. I was like a stylist for a little while and I was like, oh, actually, I hate this.
How did you get into the stylist stuff?
Stylism,
yeah. What was your first get interested in stylism and subsequently disinterested?
Well, the thing's like, I've always been interested in fashion. I've always like had loads of like fashion magazines and kept up with like whatever design houses I've really enjoyed, like what they're doing and stuff like over the years. So I was like, okay, cool. It'd be like nice to dip my toes in that world, see what it's like. At Topshop, they call their personal shoppers stylists.
Right.
And it meant that we would like go around, we'd find clients to like work with. It was normally people who had like massive baskets of clothes and we'd like kind of make commission off of them. But it was for me, which was why I ended up hating it.
Yeah.
Is you were supposed to just like make them buy everything.
Yes.
Make them spend as much money as possible.
Right.
And I was like, no, like I want you to feel good about the clothes that you're wearing.
Yeah.
That you're spending a lot of money on. And so we'd go and like, I'd work with them and, you know, match pieces that I think suited them, that they felt comfortable in. And even though they might have left some stuff behind, the most important thing was making sure that they looked and felt good.
Yeah.
Why I ended up disliking it so much is because it was like, you need to make them spend more. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
It's such an old school, like, capitalist mentality to something like that, where they think, surely you go home with as many things as possible. That's the most profitable thing. It's like, not really. If they go, I trust this person.
Yeah.
They go, you know what? It's up to you, but I put that back.
Yeah.
In the nicest possible terms.
Literally.
I think this is much better. If you're not sure about that, put it away, come another time and figure that out. Those look great on you, those are perfect, those 100%. Work.
Yep.
And then they'll be like, do you know what? They really actually looked out for me, and so I'll go back.
More. I will come back.
And I'll be here for life, probably.
Exactly.
Rather than like, oh yeah, that's definitely good. Buy that.
Yeah.
It makes me think of Game back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Where they would be like, you go in and they'd just like, yeah, you want to get this? I'm like, no, I don't.
No.
And as soon as they clock that you know what you're doing, they're like, oh shit, okay.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to go find someone else to.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you need all of this. You need all of this insurance. You know, literally, like, mark.
Yeah.
It's like, no. You don't need to be upsold on all of these things that you don't want. Like, I'd rather you come back at a later date rather than, like, basically scamming you into getting some stuff that you don't need, you know?
That does feel like a more modern, like,
modern business understands that now.
Yeah.
Says, I did it in that voice because I know anything about business, but it just feel like the right thing to say.
It does. And it is. Mm. And I remember like trying to radicalize people at Topshop. I was like, don't let them like make you sell your soul to capitalism. And they were like, right. Because it was like a lot of 19-year-olds that I was working with.
Maybe it was that line that made them go,
and they were like, hey. So, and I was like, you know what? Ironically, I was like, enough of this. I went to the cash office to go and count their money, and I think radicalized me even further.
Yeah.
Especially like seeing how much money they'd make on like a half term period. It was like insane. Yeah. It was nuts.
Yeah.
I worked at Topshop Oxford Circus, and there's a lot of money.
I can imagine.
A lot of money that passed hands there.
Yeah. When no one really was there seeing much of it, it was just doing the actual work on the shop floor. Do you know what I mean?
Not at all.
Just the conduit between you and the shop.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll temporarily hold this money and put it somewhere else for someone else.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can see why that might,
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a hint of, like, doing a thing that sounds really cool, but then actually you're not really doing the thing you want to do there, is it? But
yeah. So, I was
so
like...
you moved on.
I moved on. I was like, styling, not in this capacity, maybe in another... but not like this.
Not like this.
So I moved on, and my time at Topshop came to an end because I slipped my disc at the ripe old age of like 23, 24.
Oh, damn.
So I was like, man, this kind of sucks. And I was like on bed rest for a while, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write some scripts. There are like these concepts in video games I think are really interesting.
Hmm.
And I want to talk about them. One of them was like this video where, and this is a thing I still do today, I will play like a really long RPG.
Yeah.
I'll do like all of the side quests, complete every little detail, and then like stop like just before the finale or like the point of no return, and then like never finish the game. I've done that on so many.
Because you don't, is that because you don't want to
You don't want to finish it. Like, I fell in love with this world. I really don't want it to come to an end. So ironically, I stop and then never go back to it.
And it does come to an end. Just before the end.
So stuff like that. And I made like a couple of videos. They weren't very good. But it got the attention of a games media production agency. And they asked me to come in and screen test for a show. And at the time, I never went to university or anything. So I was just like very... very insecure in like my own abilities. I was like, oh my god, like I screen test for a show. I could never.
Of course. Yeah.
So I said to them, I was like, I'm not gonna do that, but I want to learn like about the business. I want to learn, you know, what it takes to put on a production at all sizes. So I came on as a runner. So I was just getting like teas and coffees, like very, very behind the scenes. But I learned that very thing. Kind of worked my way through that company. I was the runner and then the office manager. And then the opportunity came to stream in-house for Xbox. So there was a period in time where my job was to play Xbox games from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. every day. And
That was a time.
When I'd say this to like non-game playing people, they'd be like, oh my god, that sounds so cool though. I was like, well, I was playing a lot of PUBG, which is a game that I wouldn't necessarily pick up myself. Played a lot of that.
Yeah.
Played a lot of Forza Horizon 4, which is a good game. But when you play it like for hours on end, it's a lot.
It's that thing where it's like when you're playing a game, usually you're playing a game and you go, I'll do for now.
Yeah.
Whenever you feel like it.
Yeah.
Or you just stop and play something else, or you do whatever. But when it's like, no, I have to play this.
Yep. And I need to be engaging, and I need to be like on, and I need to be able to answer questions that people ask in the chat about like different features in the game. Yeah.
It's a funny one that people think, especially like some like streaming and stuff, people just think it looks like, oh, it's such a laugh. And obviously it's fun.
It is fun.
But if you are trying to, this is what I struggle with. Well, my problem is I do a million things at the same time, right? But, but like, so like with streaming, like keeping it up is something that I, because I really like it, but it's that thing where you're like, oh, I don't really want to do it today.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got the energy today.
The gump.
So when am I just going to be sat there not saying anything?
Yeah.
Or like just being like, oh, I don't have to respond to chat today. Or just be like, meh. So like, you know, and like, so should I go to that? You know, do I get the real vibe for it? But if you're doing it, if that's your sort of leading thing you're doing,
you still got to go and go on, even if you're like, oh, I might be asked today because I just can't be bothered, or I didn't sleep, or something bad happened,
or
I don't feel funny, or I don't feel like
anything.
Anything.
I don't feel anything.
I don't feel anything. You should have like a little meter where you can say, just so you know, everyone, I am not. This is my, it's like a little meter. The vibes are down here today, so you're going to have to do more work to bring me up, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, it is that thing, yeah. It's like, once you turn anything into a job, even the most fun thing in the world.
It's like, this is work. Yay.
Yeah. When you made those initial videos, what were you using to make them? And what were, like, who were you watching, or what was inspiring you at the time to do that?
Oh, that's a good question. I was obsessed with outside Xbox.
Okay,
which is funny because like I know that team like quite well now. I wrote a script for them recently. And like one of my really close friends works at Outside Extra, so it's like it was like a full circle moment. They were like one of the big channels that I watched a lot of, like IGN as well. PlayStation Access, basically, all the big ones that everyone knows.
And that made you go, I want to do this
for sure. The only thing is, I wish I'd been more consistent with it, but then I'd also wish I'd like started doing it a lot sooner.
Okay.
It was like, once I sat down to like start writing the scripts, I was like, man, like I should have done this before.
It's always a thing though, isn't it? You're like, it's all right. You've got 10 years on me, mate. You're fine.
Yeah.
You started early enough. I think you're good.
I think so. I don't know.
Your face like, oh, no. Oh, no, man.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
So what were you doing it on? Like, what were you making it with? And like,
so
is it to YouTube? Like, stick it on YouTube?
Yeah, I was sticking it on YouTube. I had a camera from when I was like a teenager.
Right.
And at the time it was very good, but then it'd been like years since I'd used it, and I was like, maybe this wasn't as good as I thought it was. I think it was just like a very entry level camera, and then like a very old MacBook that I was using to edit everything. I say edit, like the edits were very, very functional, very bare bones. But yeah, that was my short lived YouTuber career.
Yeah, but it was enough to like, you know, there's a message there. It was enough to like get you something together to show people what you can do. And like you say, you got like offers from it.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm kind of surprised by, because I don't think those videos are good. I think they showcase my personality, and they show that I can like think.
I can think. Hey guys, look at me thinking.
Got two brain cells to rub together. That's about it.
Yeah, that's it. And look how well I do that. Should have seen me in primary school. Absolutely killing it.
I really was. I really did.
But yeah, you know, that's just in that kind of like, because I was on BBC Radio London recently.
Oh, I saw
BBC Upload, and like their whole thing is they're trying to encourage people to like just try it, just make something, it up, and like, and obviously you can upload it to them and be like, here's what I'm doing, or
sick.
You know, and I think a lot of people are just like, oh, I shouldn't do it. You know, especially starting out, you just think, I couldn't do it with me, you know. Yeah. But actually, if you've got something that you care about, just make a little thing.
Yeah.
I think people just understandably scared of making a thing, and then everyone just looks at it like, why'd you do that?
Just, you know.
That like, fear, right?
Part of me is like, why do you care like what other people think? That's absurd. Like, cause especially for myself, like I do not care what people think about me like at all. But there is something very vulnerable about like starting over, and like especially with like podcasting and being in front of the camera, it's very vulnerable.
Yes.
Like I think we've kind of gotten desensitized to it in a way because of like TikTok and stuff. But it is quite vulnerable to like, you know, set up a camera and just like talk and like be yourself. It's
it's that period of getting used to your own voice, getting used to your own mannerisms, especially like on camera as well.
Yeah,
because I know people who've done a lot of pods more frequently than they did streaming or anything in front of the camera. You still do that now, but they're like, oh, I still have more trouble. They'll tell me I still have more trouble watching myself back than hearing myself back.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why are you doing that thing with your face? Why do you like, you move your lip up? What are you doing? Like just shouting at yourself on the camera. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, you just got to, like, I think once you get over that, and like, you can only do that by just doing it a lot.
Yeah.
You're like, well, yeah, well, everyone's got weird little things they do, but none of them are, they're just, that's
doesn't
just
stop them.
Part of your, like, no one's got no, and if you had no, like, physical or verbal quirks.
That would be weird.
It'd be really weird and frightening. Strange. You'd be like one of those lads in the alien thingy. What are they called? You see, my pop culture is top notch, isn't it? You
know, it's there.
In Alien Isolation. Yeah. The droids or whatever that are just wandering out. You'd be one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, good reference, Gary.
I think people should do references like that.
Yeah, you'd be one of the alien lad thingies, yeah. And not aliens, the robot lads.
Yeah, I'm like, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I the first couple of times I watched and like heard myself back, I was like, man, you really talk with your gums, don't you? I was like, wow, I'm so aware of it. Mm. And then there's a lot of like, I drop my letters a lot, like at the end. But I'm like, I'm from London, that's just what we do.
And also, I think you just got, it's just how you frame it.
Yeah.
You say, well, this is an opportunity for me to review. Mm-hmm. And it's not about, like, character assassinating myself.
No.
It's about going, well, how can I, like, change these things? Not because they're bad, but change them to be more, like, useful as a presenting piece or for what I'm doing without bringing my personal feelings or ego into that thing. Think of it as a piece of work, not like I'm a piece of work, you know, and sit there like feeling depressed about, my face looks stupid when I talk, you know, or whatever. Do you know what I mean? You just got to be like, oh, okay, oh, you know, I'll change that. I'll make a point of like bringing up my plosive so I'm clearer in front of camera and I can speak
more. Off the back of that, though, this is going to sound very, you know, but we'll get there. Off the back of that, when you are like looking back at stuff that you did, the horrible things that you say about, they're often, not often, they're always going to be a lot worse than anything else that anybody says to you.
Yes.
That's my thing.
Oh, it's
like when people are like, so how do you deal with like hate comments? I'm like, this is nothing. Yeah. This, I thought
could
like
hate my own.
Yeah, I was like, I thought worse things about myself when I was 14. These are the minor leagues, babe. Like,
you're like creating fake accounts and like.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I can one up that. Yeah. There's nothing like. Watch me work.
Yeah.
Like,
No, it's true, isn't it? It's that weirdness of the self regard. Can be worse than other people sometimes, but yeah, like you say, no one's scrutinizing it as much as you are.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can scrutinize as long as it's
constructive and
without emotion and in a professional sort of mindset. Yeah. Thinking, well, I can do this and that, and that'll make that better.
Yep.
Rather than like,
I hate this. I'm terrible.
I will never speak again.
Yeah. I'm so glad it was the opposite. Like, it kind of spurred me on to be a lot better and strive for like excellence like every single time I stepped in front of the camera,
because
I very much always saw it as a privilege. So
yeah, definitely going back to what we're saying, what kind of work first came in on that Gaines Media side then? Is it so after the runner stuff, like were you straight into presenting, did you do any like writing or other side, like journalism side bits, or was it all just like,
it was straight in front of the camera, straight which in is front. So wild, like I thought I was gonna have to like try my hand at journalism or like traditional journalism, and I really didn't fancy myself a writer at the time. Like, I was really self-conscious about like writing, I just didn't think I'd be very good at it, which is ironic because I was like, my strongest subject in school was English.
Yeah, and you write your video, you know, there is writing involved in like preparing for a video, right?
But for some reason my brain like never put those two things together. So yeah, so when I was streaming for Xbox, that then got the attention of McLaren in a very, very roundabout way. And they asked me to come and screen test for a show. And if you remember, that was like the very beginning, like how I got involved in this games media production agency.
Right.
And so this time I was like, okay, I feel a bit more secure in my abilities. But then I was like, man, this is a huge deal. Like McLaren, like Formula One, like I grew up watching, like it was huge, huge deal. And at the time, my granddad had just passed away. So I was like preparing to go to Ghana for like the funeral. And like Ghanaian funerals are a whole event. Like I was going to be there for like 2.5 weeks. It was going to be like a whole thing. Yeah. So I was, the time that they needed me to come down and then to hopefully start shooting the show.
Yeah.
It was like around that time. And I was like, man, like I really want to be there, but like my tickets are booked.
Yeah.
And so they pushed the filming dates. I went to Ghana, did everything that I needed to do there, came back, I think on like the Monday. The Wednesday, I went to go and do the screen test, and then like the Friday, I found out that I got it, and then we filmed the first episode of the McLaren magazine show that
That's
I did
amazing.
That launched my career, basically.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did it like create any sort of perspective for you, like going doing that whole like a huge visit for like
yeah.
a funeral week, as
yeah,
it were,
yeah.
and then coming back like to do that? Did it kind of create perspective for you in a way of like setting, you know what I mean? Those sorts of events can have you go, right, what am I doing with my life? Is this the right thing? I'm going to do this.
Very
not, not
so.
Necessarily doubt, but like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, because my granddad had always like envisioned me being a journalist.
Right.
And I was like, oh, in a roundabout way, this is sort of that. And I was like,
yeah,
I've always like been filled with like a lot of self-doubt. And I was like, man, like, is this something I want to do? Because it's quite scary and quite vulnerable.
Mm.
I was like, you know what? Like quite literally is like too short, like just do it.
Yes.
Do it and see what happens.
Yeah.
And then did it, and I wasn't expecting, I was like, man, there is a chance of me getting it or not.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to get it.
Yeah.
And then get like, they gave me like really good feedback, and I was like, man, okay.
Yeah.
This is it then.
Yeah.
And that felt really good.
How did you deal with the fact that it's quite a big name to like go straight into,
yeah.
right? If you know, there's a certain attachment when you hear it. It's his four, and then big name that you see everywhere that everyone's familiar
right.
with. Like,
because I thought I would have started my career with like, you know, doing local
yeah.
adverts for like, you know, Dave's Mechanic Shack.
Frisps.
Like,
yeah.
Frisps? yeah.
Don't know why Frisps came to my head as the first. Well, it's like something you'd be quite excited to do, but like, you know.
Yeah.
It's not McLaren.
No, exactly. I was like, that would have been a way to like ease me in. But no, it was like straight in front of so many eyes.
Yeah.
So there was like a bit of pressure, a lot of pressure initially. And then it just sort of became the thing of, oh, well, you know, I'm off to work today. Gonna go sit in a McLaren.
that's actually amazing. Yeah.
Wild. Yeah.
So what were those videos like? What did you have to do?
Yeah. So they were running this kind of esports series over the course of a couple of, actually it was like a good chunk of the year.
Mm.
And we would film an episode of the magazine show once a month, and it
yep.
was like a companion piece to everything that was going on in the series. And then we'd have like different guests on from like the racing sim world,
right, okay.
different like content creators, commentators. We even had like one of the racers on in the esports series come and talk about like his experience. There was a guy who had competed in the previous season of McLaren Shadow, and he went on to go and race in like Formula 2.
Yeah.
So he was talking about going from like, you know, racing sims to like the real world of racing.
Right,
which was
okay.
really cool. Yeah, and I learned, like, I'd always had like an interest in Formula 1 because my dad like always had it on. But like to learn that much about Formula 1 and everything adjacent to it was really cool.
That's really yeah. awesome. Yeah. And that's a good, like, you're sort of playing that position of like the audience member, right?
Yeah.
Like getting that extra, like,
yeah.
so what's this about? And like,
yeah,
that's really cool, man. So going back to school for a minute and your prestigious time in
yes.
a pro.
I was a savant.
It really tickled me when you went, I was gifted for a time. It's really good. I really like that. I'm going to use that. And eventually it just sort of fell away. Eroded. Eroded rather rapidly. Were you, like, when did games come into your life? Is that, like, a primary school? Is it games' fault, actually? That's what it is.
Well,
you
is
got them in secondary school,
fault?
And all of a sudden,
it
great,
all went down
dropping.
Over there. video games have actually always been a part of my life. Mm. Like, I kind of can't remember a time without video games.
Right.
But I also don't have the greatest memory in the world, so... I wonder if that's part of it. No, like when we were kids, like single digit kids.
Yeah.
I remember always having like a Mega Drive in the house.
Okay.
And I remember playing Mortal Kombat at a too young age. And and Streets of Rage. I think Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
I always talk about that game. I think it's so important.
Mm.
I think it's the best of the series. I have spent so many hours of my life playing that game. It's just fantastic.
Music's playing in my head right now.
Right now. Right now.
Like right now. I might even like do a little bed underneath. It's just to make everyone feel like it's happening to them. They'll be like, oh. Yeah, that was me. Ha ha, got you. Like I can hear it. It's like, yeah, that was me. Yeah, it's that kind of... That's a good... I'm quite pleased with that one because I had Rory Powers on a couple of episodes ago and it was really making me laugh, like the difference between what was... We're talking about our first games, right? And mine's like... his was like, this is a big one. My first game was Ocarina of Time and I'm like, fucking hell.
Wow.
You had no chance. You're always going to be in the games, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I was like, what was yours? I was like, well, mine was a bloody an Amstrad Roadrunner game that just looked like ass and like you had to run away from. I was like five and you had to run away from Wallachia, but I remember thinking this is the best thing because I'm doing it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you're doing it. Yeah. Like for me, that's the most important thing. I was like, it. I'm in control. Hell yeah.
And if that hits you right, that's you, isn't it? Forever, right?
Yeah, very much so. And Streets of Rage was that for me because I would play it like on my own. My sister, she's I don't think she would call herself a gamer, but she likes a lot of the games that I like, I guess through osmosis. Like, if you look at her, if you talk to her, you wouldn't think she likes games, but then she's like, I love Metal Gear. Like, that's her, like, favourite series. But we would sit down and we'd play Streets of Rage. Yeah.
Don't really like games. Oh, apart from Metal Gear.
Metal Gear.
And you're like...
you're like, oh.
That's okay.
You nerd.
I think you're in. Okay.
I think
that's
you are.
That's pretty much...
apart
from that game that's, like, notorious for weird, really awkward... multiple hold button control weirdness and innovative
storylines,
fourth wall breaking concepts.
Apart from that,
don't really like games.
Don't really care for them. Yeah,
I like that.
She's great. So we play Streets of Rage and we'd like kind of make up or like fill in some of the storyline stuff with the characters
because
they were all like ex-cops.
Yeah.
So we were like, right, what's like the dynamic between them, like their former bosses and stuff? Like we would kind of infer that like between the levels.
I love that.
Yeah, it holds like a very, very dear place in my heart.
Now I want a Streets of Rage where they sort of develop a bit more of the story in between.
This is my thing. I'm like, no,
right.
I put the Last of Us TV adaptation, put that in the bin.
Yeah.
This is the adaptation that you need to make. It needs to, sorry, this is an aside, but it needs to be games like this that have like a foundation of a storyline, but you can fill in the gaps. And I think that's more interesting.
That's really, yeah.
That's why the Street Fighter movie is one of the greatest adaptations of all time.
The animated one.
No.
No, no, the live
yes.
action.
Yes. And I am 100% serious.
You deadlocked eyes with me on that and you're like, no, yes. Gary.
Yeah, I'm not breaking this eye contact.
I mean, it does have Van Damme, Kylie and Raul Julia who absolutely smashed that shit.
For me, it was just Tuesday. Like that, for me, that's cinema. You don't get much
you
better
can't
than
get
that.
Me on a street fight, actually. Don't do this because everyone will be, they know what happens when we talk about a fighting game. But did you see they announced Bison recently?
Yes.
And he comes in on his horse, which is from the live action when he's got the painting of him
yep.
with Napoleon in it.
Yep.
It's the Raul Julia Bison in the new Street Fighter. That's Raul Julia on that horse, man.
Can you say iconic?
That's
can
so
you?
Sick.
Like, yeah.
I was like, trying to explain to my children and or wife. It's like, no, but that was in the film. And they're like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Oh, then, you know, they do that, but they go, oh, wow, that sounds like it's important to you.
Have you done a screening? You need to do a screening. You need to, like, pause like, and, like,
down.
Do a breakdown.
You sit there,
yep.
Memorize these words. The next Bison wannabe is going to feel it. That's so hard. The next Bison wannabe will feel it. Memorize the words. Now, no, I know you've got spelling tests tomorrow, but.
That can wait. So.
This comes first, right? No, wrong. Start again. Bison's a capital letter. So we think Streets of Rage was like your
I
first.
I think, yeah. I
or like the one, first one you were like.
Yeah, I care about this.
Yeah.
I think so. I was always, yeah, I was sort of always around video games. Street, I was going to say street games, but that's not a thing. Fighting games.
NBA
were
Street.
Yeah. Fighting games was always a big thing in my house.
Yeah.
It was the thing that brought people together. My cousin and I call him my brother. He's my mum's brother, but we're closer in age than they are. They would always spend like hours in a room just like playing Street Fighter 2. And I'd like poke my head in. I was like, it stinks in here. Open a window. like, it was that bad. I was like, man. That's oh, my God. My family were like kind of keeping the tradition, like the funky fighting game stereotype. They were keeping that alive.
When you get into that room and it's like, whoa, people have been playing fighting games in here.
Yeah. Pungent.
Open the windows, please.
Yeah, and like I was never good enough to play with them, but yeah, I wanted to.
So you just had to watch.
I just had to watch, but that's where my love of fighting games like really, really came alive.
So good. Mm. I always made like characters and stuff as a kid. Like, but I was saying this on a previous episode. But it's funny because I'd be like, I'm gonna invent my own characters, but it was just like a color swap gig on like Ken, and he was called like Bill. Not that those loads of fighters have actually done that, so including Street Fighter.
You were starting the trend, you know.
But I was like, yeah, okay, maybe I don't quite have the. I feel like anyone who's a game dev I've had on the show, they have similar stories like that, but that their stuff actually has something to it and goes somewhere. Where I'm like, oh yeah, I used to do that. It was shit.
so I mean. But, well, the most important thing is you tried.
Yeah.
You know?
Like a Zelda. I made like a Zelda RPG on, but like and it sounds interesting. Sounds good. It wasn't.
No, it does just, sound. I'm
I just
like,
did loads of like squares, like a board game style thing.
Yeah.
But I did it on, you know, like an A4 pad that's in portrait.
Yep.
So it goes that way. So do it on that and then just like draw the squares onto the next page and then just sort of. Flip the page over and move this character made out of plasticine.
But that's good.
It wasn't good. Shit. It was just like sounds like oh yeah, quite.
Yeah.
And you go now. What did you do? I don't know. Lost interest. And then on to the next thing. Next. what about Ryu? But he's got a green on, and he's called Biu. Oh, interesting. What are his moves? Fireball.
Mm-hmm. It's green.
But it's green. Bigger fireball, so it's better than Ryu, actually. Thank you. It's like way better. It's a better character.
I'm just hearing positives here. So
you're like, oh, taking notes. Yep. Like, so Ryu, but Biu.
And green.
And green. It's like, don't steal that. So I snorted. Yeah, you go down one route, don't you? You're either going to
make him or talk about him.
Make him or talk about him.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not that way inclined for like making stuff because people are like, oh, you know, the game presenter / journalist to game dev pipeline. I was like, that's not a line. Well, in me, that's yeah, not.
It's like, where's the line?
No.
I missed the tube stop. It's gone. It's over there. It's long gone. I was supposed to get off there.
No. I like unpacking games. I like, you know, kind of thinking about them cerebrally, but like, just I don't feel inclined to make a game at all.
I love having ideas about them.
Going,
this would be a good one. Yeah. Or like going, what if you did that? And there has been like some history of that where you get like people doing previews of something or early stuff and they will say, I think it would benefit from this.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, depending on the cycle and stuff, devs will actually take that on board and like, oh, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just want to do that.
Yeah, I just want to do that. Like, take
consultant
my word.
Come in and go, as law. Bad. Do it like this. Yeah. Bye. Oh yeah, thank you for your input. We love you here.
Fantastic. That's the dream. That is actually the dream.
Walk in and go, that shit. Do it like that. But you know, like just thinking about, oh, I wonder if you could do it like, because I always feel like I have those ideas and they're usually right.
Yeah.
It's just I don't have it's not the creative ability, it's the, I've not got a maths brain. I've not got a programming technical brain.
Yeah.
And I can't structure things in that way where you do it from the ground up and you've got to do it so neatly.
Yeah.
I guess, I'm sure a lot of devs would be like, oh no, it ain't neat.
Yeah,
but even,
yeah.
Even just making it work in the first place, I couldn't do. Even if it was like a ramshackle, don't look behind the curtain.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy back here, but at the front looks great. Couldn't even get that going, right?
Well, I don't know. It's sounding to me like there might be a home for you amongst all the other projects that you have going on. I think there might be something else to add to your bow.
You think Biu might be?
I think so. I think it might be viable.
On his way to Switch and PS5 2027.
You know?
You're like,
I'm like...
it's one of those things. Did you ever meddle with Dreams?
Yeah.
That was hard work.
It was hard.
But great.
It was great. But again, those sorts of tools are like, whenever that's like presented as an option to me, I'm like, I get so much more enjoyment out of like playing the stuff that other people make. Because like, you give me, you know, this massive canvas, I'm like, like, I got nothing.
Yeah, you're just sort of looking at it like,
right. Yeah.
What I found was really interesting, it did teach me a little bit, because I got a bit into it, and I was like, oh, that's not working, that's not. And it took, and it's like painful, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Learning the bits. And then I sort of got, I got a character down, I got some bits I wanted, like things triggering as you walk past, like lights changing, sound effects. I made little sound effects from like, I think I got a shotgun, one of those noises, like a shotgun noise.
Oh, cool.
And I like reversed it, slowed it down, added a bit of reverb, and it sounded like a big light coming on, like.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that sounds cool. So that could be like a big light, right? So I was starting to make like a limbo-y
thing, right? Yeah.
But, so I got all that down, I got like a little one screen or whatever, figured out some solutions, like, oh, this is cool, okay, okay. Then I was like, oh, but what is the game gonna be, and how do I, what are the levels, what are the anything? And I'm like, oh shit, there's so much to actually work out. Now I've got like a guy on the screen, made a little animation and raised his hands like a custom one, which went really wrong the first time. It was really funny. It sort of like goes through, he sort of put his hand through his own face and like, you know, it was like, what, you know. But like, actually I think the really difficult stuff is making something out. Once you've got the tools, once you've built the person and the little place, actually going, yeah, but what is this, what's it actually going to be? And I was like, I've got absolutely no idea. Oh my god.
Yeah. And see, that I think for is like really exciting for a lot of people. They're like, oh my god, I can't wait to like ask, answer all of these questions, like what's next, what, you know, why is this happening? Whereas for me, that is terrifying.
Yeah,
that like, that's just too much responsibility, and I can't be responsible for this world. Like, I'm
No. I think that's the attitude, like, because when I spent a lot of time at US2 Games doing the embedded photojournalism thing, like watching them encounter a problem, it was almost like the way I see them dealing with it, I was almost like, are you being sarcastic? Because they'd be like, oh look, so I just changed this on the thing we've been working on for ages and it's completely broken everything, and they're like, oh, I see. Oh, that's really interesting. I wonder why that's happened. Must be because of that. Yeah, so that must be. I'd be going, it's broken. What the fuck? I only changed one thing and now nothing works. What the hell? It's been like week. You know, I'd be like that. And they were like, oh, it's really interesting. It's completely screwed now. You know, and they were like, they weren't being like, ha ha ha. They were really like, hmm.
Yeah.
I said that to them and they were like, yeah, well, it depends how close we are to a deadline. But sure.
Yeah, I thought so. But see, that's the thing, is like, they are. Like, I think game devs are very inquisitive by nature, and you really have to be. Whereas I, weirdly enough, I'm not, considering like what my job is, and like, I feel like to play games, you have to be quite inquisitive. There was a period in time where I'd play like different RPGs and people would be like, oh yeah, so did you do this side quest? And I was like, no, because I was so like laser focused on like completing the main storyline. That like I don't care about the other side stuff. That's changed now.
Right.
But I just wasn't inquisitive in that way.
You a big RPG person then?
I'd say so, yeah.
Did you do, because that makes you think of, so I go in and out, but I played Nier Automata.
Yeah.
And the side quests in that are, some of them are big deal. Big,
yeah.
I just wonder whether you go through the middle, or you're looking at what you didn't like it.
I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy that game.
Did you not?
No, yeah. I want to go back, because I'm sort of going, I finished Yakuza Infinite Wealth recently. Okay. And so I have gone back to Like a Dragon, and I'm like going to go back through some other games.
Okay, okay.
See what I missed.
What was it? Was it the, I think one of the criticisms was like, oh, it's not quite a platinum game in terms of the combat quality, and it's not quite an RPG in terms of the RPG quality, and it was
just,
but I liked some of the ideas. I liked the you know, the true ending stuff with the replay and the ultimate like stuff you have to do without spoiling any of it, but I thought that was cool. And then some of the side Some of the side missions are really stuck with me.
Yeah, that's ideas. What everyone says, and I'm like, I want to go back, and I think I'm going to.
Right.
Because I feel dedicated. By the end of the year, I want to have cleared at least 50% of my backlog, which is actually quite a lot. I know. I'm being quite ambitious, and Nier is like very close to the top of the list.
Right. It's near to the top.
Oh, that's not.
Had to do it. Had to come out of me.
Otherwise, did you have to,
like,
though?
No, because if I didn't, it'd be like, you see this like sort of boil up here on my neck. You're like, what's happened there? The suppress. So it's better to me just say it, otherwise.
Just get it out like a burp. Jesus.
Yeah, get it out like a burp, yeah. If you were forced in some arbitrary way to choose between, you can work in games still, mm-hmm. but there's not going to be any front of camera, there's not going to be any chatting.
Ooh.
There's not going to be any video making. It will be in games, but it'll be something you can do, yeah. and you're good at, but it won't be
this the thing.
Or you can do loads of this, but no more game stuff. It's going to be about, I don't know,
socks,
crisps.
Back to Frisps.
You're going to be the face of Frisps.
Well, you
for
know
20
what?
Years.
I wouldn't mind that.
Frisp Corn.
Yeah.
Frisp Corn 2020.
Speaker.
Yeah, keynote speaker. Like, which one, if you had to drop one side of it?
Oh, God.
Hard question.
I think, yeah, it is. I think I just, this is terrible, but I think I really do just enjoy the sound of my own voice. So I... God, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I think I'd drop games.
Yeah.
And go all in on the presenting.
Mm.
Wild.
There you
wild.
Go.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I should ask myself that now. I think it's cruel to not to just do it
yeah,
to you and not.
Actually.
It's
a big question.
I would do the same.
Yeah.
Because based on recent chats I've had, like, with different people on the pod, like Lana Zagombitron, and she has made a point of, like, not having everything in her life be connected to games.
Yeah.
Only because, not because they're bad, but because, like, it can become, as a hobby, as an interest, it can become quite suffocating and all-encompassing.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it's good to, just for that breadth, to pull other things in. And also it's sort of what the industry needs in general.
I didn't want to be the one to say it,
yeah,
but it's
yeah,
true.
No, it's good.
No, it's true.
You know, it's something we've spoken about ages on this podcast, like I had Simon Parkin on, and he was saying, like, you don't want to become, when you're doing stuff about games, you don't want to just become an advocate for games mm-hmm. and just be like, but they're amazing and the best yeah. thing, definitely, and we won't criticize it. It's like, you're allowed to love the medium and criticize it at the same time, because that's yeah. how, that's because you love it yeah. and you want it to get
and
better.
That's how it grows.
And that's like, how it grows.
That's how it adapts and evolves. I just, yeah, I feel so strongly about this, because there are people that I meet who, they're nice people. I'm mm-hmm. not tearing them down.
Oh, another exclusive.
This is the thing that gets me cancelled. It's just, but you can tell when, like, video games is like someone's sole, like, point of reference,
yeah.
and I think that's not good. But the opposite is also true. When people don't have other things to reference or, like, other things to pull on, it shows, and it's not a good thing.
Boss Baby vibes.
Sorry?
Thing. You know the Boss Baby meme?
Oh, yeah.
This has Boss Baby vibes. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, literally. And I just, like, why do that to yourself, you know?
Oh my God. So, referring back to our chat about the untapped potential of video game stories.
Oh.
What would you, aside from, I guess, the answer is Streets of Rage, what would you write a story about? What other games would you, say you could do that, say someone just says dream job, dream project. Hands your couple on a plate. What would you do? What would you work on?
Oh God, I don't. Oh God, that's a big question. There's like two things, which is not really. I'm cheating a little bit, but they're kind of like the two sides of the same coin. I May Destroy You, I think, is one of the best TV shows of all time.
Oh,
the
right.
Michaela Cole
yeah.
show that she spent like ages. She wrote and rewrote it like so many different times. And it's like very, very heavy subject matter. It's kind of talking about like sexual assault.
And
the main character is like very flawed and like messy in a lot of ways. And I think that is a narrative that people are scared to do. People are scared to do generally, like it yes. doesn't matter like the medium, but I think in games in particular, there is a lot of pressure to get like female characters right. And I would like to see like the kind of messiness explored a little bit more. Yeah, just like being given room to not be perfect, to kind of be these,
yeah
these flawed messes.
Yeah. And then that, like, creating gameplay mechanics around that.
Yeah.
That idea. There's something that's what I really like about games, where you're, like, make the story fit the mechanics.
Yes.
Which is obviously not easy.
Yeah.
But when people get it right, it's, like...
The most satisfying thing in the world.
There is no other medium that can match.
Yeah, no, literally.
A computer game and for such things.
That's when I turn into like a very mindless like gaming ambassador.
Yeah, yeah.
And I talk about games like on the street. Like
switch you the hat on and you're like, did you know?
And then people are like, oh, she's out again. She's out of her enclosure. Oh my goodness.
Let her out. Was that it's like things like Elden Ring or a Souls game where that's for me, that's environmental storytelling over like...
Yeah,
I found a notepad in the middle of this room.
Now I'm gonna go fetch something.
Tells me the story. It's like, this is just the story, but you've left it in a room.
I hate that.
That's not that. I mean, once upon a time, everyone's like, whoa.
But now, it's just not gonna cut it.
Gotta try harder.
Yeah,
gotta try harder, babe. Please try harder, babes. Right. Listen, it's been very nice in here. I've never been up this way before.
It is a lot of people, you know, they don't give North London its flowers, especially this part of North London, but it's nice.
It is.
It's nice, and I love it here.
I recommend coming here to Ali Pali. They don't kick you out if you do a podcast in it.
No, they don't.
Which is very important. But even if you don't have a podcast, come anyway.
Come anyway. Enjoy the sights. It's like you get a really lovely view, especially when the sun's going down.
Mm.
It's nice. It's green.
Let's go and have a look at the view before it
I mean,
rains.
It's grey, so we ain't got much time. But...
Still worth
we'll
it, right?
We'll get something. A couple minutes at least.
Let's do it. Let's get the view. Cheers. Let's cheers, Mike.
Yay!